Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am not these bubblegum dudes you're talking to.
Pedro Fernandez.
He will be mine in round nine. And if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to four.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is it. Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking albums for almost 40 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I am your host. I'm also an award-winning boxing writer and four-time Golden Glove champion. So I have a unique perspective when it comes to boxing. But guess what? You have a better perspective because you're buying the pay-per-views. Or are you? In fact, a couple of promoters of late are screaming about all the piracy on pay-per-view. Well, guess what? They weren't screaming about that when they were making zillions and zillions of dollars. Now that their profits are being cut to an extent, I guess, by piracy, they're bitching. But straight up, we'll talk about that then. Of course, the passing of baseball great Orlando Cepeda. Who is he? He was a player for the San Francisco Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals, but the bottom line is came back to the Oakland A's. He was sort of a good buddy of a friend of ours, so we'll talk about him in depth as he passed at 86. We'll also talk about Teofimo Lopez going tonight, as well as Bam Estrada. Well, I know Bam versus Estrada. Of course, Bam Bam Rodriguez. They call him Bam. I call him Bam Bam. Bam Bam Rodriguez versus the old guy Estrada. Man, this is like the changing of the guard at 115 pounds. No doubt about it. Estrada's going to get licked like a stamp. He has two chances, slim and none. And guess what? Slim's out of town. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we'll bring in... I take that back. I'm going to go solo this hour. I'm going to go solo for the entire hour. In fact, the Skype just died on me for another client. So we're going to go live for an hour with Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'll talk about boxing in depth after the break. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
When a fight is coming up, you, it appears to me, deliberately build up a lot of pressure to intimidate your opponent.
And intimidate the people. See, in America, the black people are always taught to be humble. You know, yes, boss. Hey, Barbara. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. And never has a slave got up and said, I am the greatest. I'm beautiful. I'm pretty. I cannot lose.
They said, that talks too much.
And they pay money to see me beat. And I go to the bank laughing. $100,000, $200,000. I am the greatest. That talks, he's cocky.
I can't believe they edited out the N-word. It's Muhammad Ali talking. I'm appalled by that. Sports Byline, oh my God, the censors here. They put Ali, talk Muhammad Ali using the N-word. How can you censor that? I mean, it wasn't like Colonel Sanders saying the N-word. It was Muhammad Ali. Anyway, bottom line is, of course, we have open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the boxing world is alive because of the fact that David Benavidez is going to make somewhat of a decision in the next couple of weeks. I can't believe this is a decision he needs to make, but evidently the WBC Board of Governors, as of a recent release in the last 48 hours, have said that Benavidez has a two-week notice in which he either has to enforce his number one contender status at 168 pounds or 175 pounds. Which one do you think he's going to take? The one that pays the money or the one that doesn't? The bottom line is he deserves that fight with Canelo Alvarez. Of course, Canelo saying that he's not in his league. That's what he said this week. He's not in the same class I'm in. I can't believe he would say that. I mean, maybe from an economic point of view, he's not in the same, you know, he doesn't have the money you have. But outside of that, being a different class than you, what is that supposed to mean? I just don't get it. A different class. What's he trying to say? That the guy's not totally Mexican? He's got some Mexican blood in him. Anyway, bottom line is Benavidez has about 13 days now in order to make a decision as to whether he's going to force his mandatory at 168 pounds or 175 pounds. The thoughts here is that he pushes at 168 unless he's come to some type of financial agreement with somebody, unless people are paying people under the table, unless Canelo's giving him money on the side. You know, Canelo now, he gave his last opponent, afterwards, you know, Jaime got, what did he get? He got a brand new car. I mean, come on, man. I mean, think about that. The guy goes the distance with Canelo. He respects Canelo. Gets knocked down in the fourth round. Canelo could have knocked him out at that point in time. Then he carries him the rest of the way. And then afterwards, he says he was a respectful Mexican, so I gave him a car, and I didn't want to ruin his career or things like that. Well, guess what, man? We don't want to hear all that kind of stuff. I really don't. I mean, Jaime Munguia was, 43-0, but for most of it was 43 fights. He fought a lot of guys like you and me. So the bottom line is, we really can't put a whole lot of stock in being undefeated at that point in time. A lot of Tijuana cab drivers. But the bottom line is, we have a two-week decision as to whether David Benavidez is going to make it at 168 or 175. Let's hope he makes the right decision. And I don't mean, listen, I don't want to involve the WBC and all kinds of litigation and going back and forth and spit talking and the organization getting trashed any further than it's been getting trashed of late. Because overall, on the internet, guess what? They sort of side with Benavidez. They just do. I mean, Mauricio and Canelo can say what they want, but, you know, the bottom line is people are siding for the most part. I mean, I'm looking like, I looked at a blog that was on the WBC page the other day, of Facebook or Instagram, something like that. There were 27 comments, okay? 24 were, let Benavidez fight Canelo. The other three were, oh, make him earn his shot, or he's not in the same league. I mean, where are they getting this kind of stuff? I mean, the guy's undefeated. What is he, 29-0 now? 24 knockouts? Goes 12 rounds with that awkward Russian. The Russian weighed like about 205, 210 pounds easily when they stepped in the ring a fortnight ago. You know it. I know it. Everybody knew it. Speaking of that night, Gervonta Davis, Frank Martin, what can you say about Gervonta Davis? Pound for pound, he's done things that you want to see in a pound-for-pound great. You really do. But the bottom line is, I don't think he's faced the upper echelon of guys. Of course, when he fought Ryan Garcia, either Ryan Garcia took a dive or Ryan Garcia went in there hurt. Something was up with that Ryan Garcia fight. Speaking of Ryan Garcia, suspended for a year. Fined $1 million. I think most of that stuff's going to be overturned in some type of appeal because it sounds a little weird to me that he can get a year off, and like Canelo popped dirty. Remember, he got like 6 months suspension or something like that. Other guys get popped dirty. Like Roy Jones got popped dirty, and what did he do? He paid a fine. He didn't pay a fine. He donated money to the Indiana Boxing Commission or something like that. Some charity associated with the Indiana Boxing Commission. I kid you not. That's how Roy Jones got past that steroid pop. But the bottom line is, guys have used steroids for a long time. Guys have used performance-enhancing drugs to an extent. Was Ryan Garcia on a lot of dope? I don't know, because I keep trying to get an expert. I've called a couple of doctors this week, and they don't want to come on the air. I said, did he take enough dope to make this count? Is there something going on here? I mean, is a little bit of this stuff or a lot of bit of this stuff? What is this stuff? That's why I asked. What is the substance that was found in Ryan Garcia's system? Not once, but twice in two different urine tests. And if he was tested a day before the fight and it was negative or a couple of days before the fight, how can you take a steroid and expect it to work in 48 hours? It doesn't work that way. Steroids are a long-term type of thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not something you just take I'm taking steroids on Tuesday, and on Thursday, it ain't going to happen that way. But the bottom line is, we got to see what eventually does happen there. Because at the end of the day, Ryan Garcia is still an attraction, but what a nutcase. I mean, he's done all kinds of crazy things the past couple of weeks, the last few weeks. I can't even get into it. Of course, he jumped up on the ring at the Gervonta Davis fight with a T-shirt that said, I'm Tank's number one fan or something like that. And all props to him. But some of the crazy thing he's saying, I think he said something about Caleb Plant's wife performing fellatio on him. I mean, it's all kinds of crazy stuff. And like, I think Caleb Plant was like four or five seats away. I mean, why are you doing this? If you're not insane, this is the worst act you could ever perpetrate on the public. Because it just is not becoming. It's not positive. There's absolutely nothing positive in what Ryan Garcia is doing. Nothing. I mean, the cigarette smoking and weed and allegedly doing blow before a fight, all this kind of good stuff. I'm just not with it. I just don't think so. And at the end of the day, although somebody said he made close to $30 million for that last fight. $30 million. Holy cow. So in other words, he can tell the whole world to get screwed. You know, find me $2 million, find me $5 million. So what? Find me $5 million. I made 30. He made over $30 million for that fight. Of course, at the end of the day, though, he's damaged goods. I mean, he is. I mean, the fact that his reputation has been tarnished by poor performance-enhancing drugs, people are going to say his two times in the spotlight, he failed miserably against Gervonta Davis. Of course, I thought he really did. And then, of course, he sort of like, how did he beat him? I mean, when he walked in the ring, obviously he was a much bigger guy than Devin Haney. He just was. I mean, he just was. Ryan Garcia was much bigger. I mean, buff the whole nine yards. Like two different guys, two different weight classes. And get this, Haney was weighing somewhere around 165 pounds. So what I'm wondering is, you know, how Haney has been like the darling poster boy of the WBC of late in this end. You feel sorry for him because, you know, guys use PEDs against him. And he started his career in Mexico and all that kind of stuff. That has nothing to do with the price of rice in China today. It just doesn't. And Devin Haney, it boils down to this. What have you done for me lately? I mean, think about this. 32 fights, 15 knockouts. Oh, wait. He's undefeated again. Oh, did I tell you that? Oh, yeah. They took the win away from Ryan Garcia and made it a no contest. So it's a no contest. And I'm sort of, yeah, okay. I don't know how much performance-enhancing drugs were involved. But, okay, I'll go with that. But he goes, but, and now he's going around. He's celebrating on the internet. Guess what? I'm undefeated again. Listen, your punk ass got beat. That's all I can say. I mean, you got licked like a stamp. It was embarrassing. I mean, you know, it just was. How many times you go down that fourth round? Harvey Dock, the referee? You and him, you better send him money. All that money that you made, you better send Harvey 25%. Maybe half, because had he not, you wouldn't have finished the fight. In the seventh round, you were down four times by punches. They kind of went knocked down officially, okay? Bottom line is, you know, Ryan Garcia was doing some weird stuff, turning his head, turning his back, that kind of good stuff. I thought that Doc should have been on top of that, and he wasn't. But Harvey Doc, that was one of the worst referee performances I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, pound for pound, it was bad. What did Bernard Hopkins, he's the co-promoter of the event, what did he say? The brother was doing the brother a solid. Yeah, he was doing the brother solid, but it looked really bad on TV. In fact, you could smell it. It stunk so bad that you could smell it through the television, especially that seventh round. Down four times, all by punches, only one official knockdown for Devin Haney. Of course, now Devin Haney's undefeated again. Oh, boy. Where can he sell tickets? He can't sell them here in San Francisco. Listen, when he did that arena, the Chase Arena in December, him in Progress, okay, they did like 13,000 people, something like that. They didn't come to see Devin Haney. Nobody even knew Devin Haney was from San Francisco. Nobody knew he was from San Francisco, but says he's from Oakland. But the bottom, nobody knew that. Nobody knew it. They came because it was a box. The tech people came out because it was a boxing event, the first time ever. They were all hanging out, having a good time ringside, this and that. But that's what that was based on. It wasn't Haney drawing. It was the event that drew. And of course, that was a big time event. No doubt about that. 13,000 people. But he's never had a base before. I mean, if Las Vegas was his base, he never drew down there. He never drew more than 2,000 people in Las Vegas. He's not a draw. This week, Oscar De La Hoya ripped him apart. Of course, the Golden Boy, former 1992 Olympic gold medalist, of course, bad dude, pound for pound at one point in time, the best fighter in the world, now a promoter extraordinaire. He says, you know, Devin Haney, you just don't sell. Devin was complaining about not getting paid and this kind of good stuff. He said, listen, man, you just don't sell. And he doesn't. I mean, Devin Haney, listen, you can get all, you can, Daniel, you, this is the way it is, okay? This world will break. But Devin Haney's entire fan base is three black guys and his father. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'll give you my one interview with a hooker. She was working out of Las Vegas, and she serviced both Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis. So this was an interesting interview. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, we were at a club. So I said, can I roll tape? She's like, I don't care. Anyway, the club was making too much noise in the background for the tape to make it do any good. So I said, she's sitting there. She goes, you know, Lennox was a gentleman. She goes, Mike, not so much. I mean, how can I figure that one out?
I mean, I don't think anybody would be shocked, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be shocked whatsoever. She goes, to call Mike a freak would be an understatement on freaks. Or something like, she said something like, and she said this on the air, right? So I was like, tripping right on. And then, of course. Confessions of Botany's Nightclub, Las Vegas, Nevada. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, tonight we'll talk about Estrada and Jesse Rodriguez. Jesse Bam Rodriguez, of course, a 112-pound champion, stepping up to 115 pounds. Somebody said to me, you know, what's 3 pounds? People keep talking about this. 3 pounds, they have weight divisions for a reason. The guys at 112 are usually smaller than the guys at 115. The guys at 108 are smaller than the guys at 112. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's only 4 pounds, a 3 pounds division, 3 pounds in between weight classes down there. But the bottom line is, it's there for a reason. Now, pound for pound right now, there is no pound-for-pound king. Of course, no one I think is the pound-for-pound king, in my opinion. Of course, the undefeated Japanese lad. Of course, the guy that's only fought here once or twice in the United States, but he's never yet to make his championship debut here in the U.S., of course. Then you've got Terrence Crawford, kid from Omaha, Nebraska, stepping up to 154 August the 3rd. He'll be fighting in Southern California for a 154-pound belt. Of course, a longtime champion, not 135, 140, 147. But, you know, what have you done for me lately? He's a guy that only fights once a year. And, of course, that last fight with Errol Spence, that was a bit of a car wreck. Why was it a car wreck? Because Errol Spence was in the car wreck before the fight. So he was all wrecked up beforehand. Of course, you remember he got tossed out of the car at 115 miles an hour. The rest is sort of boxing history. But the bottom line is Spence's history. Spence is talking about coming back maybe at 154 pounds. And then, wait, Crawford is one. Get this, what? Crawford is willing to take a fight with just about anybody. He says he'll fight Canelo Alvarez, who will move up to 168 pounds to fight Canelo. Canelo says, you're too small. Yeah, Canelo, right. If Canelo could pull that con off, he would, without a doubt, okay? Now Crawford's saying he'd go down to 147 to fight Gervonta Davis. Of course, Davis is the pound-for-pound king in the minds of most Americans, I think. You think he is? I mean, as I say, what, 29-0, 30-0, 28 knockouts? I mean, the guy's invincible. But the bottom line is, has he ever fought anybody that's been a threat? That's when you sort of can tell what a fighter really is all about, when he fights somebody that's a threat. Speaking of a threat, is this young man a threat? I'm talking about Fernando Vargas Jr. Now, 15-0, 14 KOs. Of course, he's son of the former world champion, Fernando El Farroz Vargas. So he beat Juan Carlos Cardonas, who came in at 14-4. No surprise, lefty in 14-5. But he could punch a little bit. He had 9 KOs. His fifth straight KO. Oh, wait. No wonder. Let me go with this. He handed Juan Carlos Cardonas his fifth straight KO loss on Friday night. Wait. Did you know what was going to happen when you find a guy that's been knocked out 4 times in a row? Do you have to, like, scratch your head at what's going to happen the fifth time? I mean, come on. I don't know if those are really, I guess the training is good, but I don't know if those type of fights are really worthy as far as bringing up a young guy is concerned, especially at this point in time. He's fought 15 fights. He doesn't need to be fighting mark time fights. He really doesn't. And he needs fights. He needs fights. I'm talking about Vargas Jr., excuse me, in which he can still learn. He needs to learn his craft a little bit more. He just does. But the bottom line is, fighting club fighters, I don't know, knocked out. How many times? Oh, my God. And get this. On the same card, and this was in the Southwest University Event Center in El Paso, Texas. On the same card, nothing but quality boxing coming from Texas, baby. Unbeaten 140-pounder Abel, El Zorro Mendoza, 41-0 with 30 knockouts, took a six-round decision over it. Get this. German Ivan Meraz. His record is, are you ready, Daniel? 65 wins, 70 losses, with 3 draws and 41 KOs. So what are the chances of him winning that fight? What I'm trying to say is, when you bought tickets, I guess you're going to a boxing event. You're not going to an event of entertainment. You're not going to see competitive boxing, because that's not competitive boxing. I can't believe the Texas Athletic. I'll take that back. I believe the Texas Athletic Commission can put that on. You know why? Because at one point in time, when Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., people are going to get mad at me again for jumping on him. But the bottom line is, Jr., who had a history with cocaine, they wanted to take a urine test from him. They couldn't find a cup. That was the excuse I got when I called, because I called the Texas Commission next day that following Monday for a couple of different reasons. I said, by the way, did Chavez take a post-fight drug test? He goes, we couldn't find a cup. Say what? Yeah, these guys showed up without a cup. Anyway, Fernando Vargas Jr., we'll see what happens as far as that's concerned. Now, tonight, Teofimo Lopez, of course, pound for pound, at one point in time, man, he was a guy. He just was. I mean, he looked so good, and then he ran into, George Kambosos. What was going on? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, talk about having an off night. And, of course, since Sandal Martin, he didn't look that good. Speaking of Sandal Martin's going to get a shot at that WBC title. Of course, that Devin Haney now has been listed as a champion in recess. And speaking of Haney, I got to mention this because, he's constantly in the news because of his big mouth father, okay? But evidently, he couldn't defend against Sandal Martin in July because he's not mentally, physically, or emotionally ready. He's got problems in all three departments. Listen, what about the chin? You didn't bring up the chin. I can't believe this, that people would consider him a world-class fighter if you can't take a shot. This is boxing. This is boxing, okay? And his inferior, as far as his stance and his jab's concerned, he stands here and he throws a jab and he pulls his right hand back. In other words, opening up his chin. That's how he got clocked with them left hooks. Bottom line is, he doesn't know boxing too well because his father's been running the show for a long time. Speaking of his father, man, why don't you just go away? I mean, this week he was applauding the fact that his son's undefeated. Talk about suing Ryan Garcia for that. So, listen, Ryan Garcia made you a lot of money, man. I mean, you couldn't make that money with anybody else. You just couldn't. Whatever you got was way more than you deserved. Because the bottom line is, you're not a draw. Just like Oscar De La Hoya said, you're not a draw. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, I think Devin Haney's going to go. Hey, I had surgery on his right shoulder. Okay, had surgery on his right shoulder. And he's going to be off for a while. But the bottom line is, he's emotionally, mentally, and physically unprepared to fight in July. We wish him the very best of luck as far as his future concerned. I just hope it isn't in the sport of boxing. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Now, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, of course, in the news because tonight he steps up to 115 pounds, undefeated last, stepping up to 115 to take on the old man, Juan Francisco Estrada. Estrada looks like old. He looks like he's older than dirt. He just does. I mean, and the guy's been around a while, but, all these different times when you have to make weight, especially with those lighter weights, you're cutting weight and this and that, because you don't walk around 115 pounds. These guys will probably walk around about 130, 135 pounds, just normally, okay? So getting down to 115 is a bit of a strain. Estrada's getting old. At the end of the day, I don't think he has much of a chance. I think this is one of them slim and none chances, and Slim's out of town. There's no doubt about that. Now, Jesse Rodriguez, of course, bam, a current champion, 112 pounds, 19 and zip, 12 KOs. He's a guy that can punch with these 8-ounce gloves on. Now, get this. He's a 112-pound guy. He's using 8-ounce gloves. These are 2 ounces smaller than heavyweight champion or former heavyweight, what heavyweights fight with, Oleg Usyk or Tyson Fury, 200-plus pounds. They fight with 10-ounce gloves. The gloves are only 2 ounces bigger. So he's carrying around an 8-ounce gloves, and he's knocking people out with it. And that's sort of cool. I mean, because the bottom line is, nobody wants to watch guys punch. That's why women's boxing is not making it the way that people wanted to make it. This art form stuff really doesn't work, because at the end of the day, people want to see people get knocked out. They just do. They want to see people get or get dominated upon. People are back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, boxing matches. Yeah, yeah. That's really good for the people that are into it as far as the scientific fans are concerned. But as far as the bloodthirsty fans, and yes, we need bloodthirsty fans of boxing. Why? Because most of them are going off to the UFC. I can't believe the UFC, because the UFC is so final. That's what it is. When you get beat in a UFC fight, it's over. It's done. There's no doubt about it. You're not left thinking, what would that? No. You know what happened. The guy's sitting there laying on the ground unconscious. Speaking of laying on the ground unconscious, of course, I'm against that. I'm against hitting people on the ground. I would go with the MMC, the UFC and the MMA thing. I mean, I would foster it. I would sponsor it to an extent if they didn't have the ground and pound. Because, see, when you're on the ground, and you're on the ground, you can't go nowhere. So when they're hitting you, the only thing that's going to absorb the punishment of the punch or the kick or whatever, the elbow or the knee or whatever, the only thing that's going to absorb that is your skull and your brain. And that's where CTE comes along, chronic traumatic assault. I can't say it, encephalopathy. But the bottom line is, I'm telling you, man, this is, and people say to me, you know, you're making a big thing about CTE. You don't see these guys. You don't care about these guys. I care about them. I see these guys 15, 20 years later. I walk them to them. I walk them to guys at the store, guys who used to box us, and say, hey, man, how you feeling? This and that. And you can see, they look at me. It takes a while for them to focus in and figure out who it is. Okay? It shouldn't be that way. But boxing will do that to you. Boxing, the residual effects of professional boxing and or amateur boxing in some respects are gnarly. They just are. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing and MMA. I've got open phone lines. I'll open them up here. And the Sports Byline Studios, the number is 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529 or 1-800-878-PLAY. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Don't forget, we come to you Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. Tune in. And, of course, we also got the WBC page sponsored by Veev TV going out of Dallas, Texas, down there in Mexico. So the bottom line is, we're all over the damn place. But this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside look in the world of boxing and MMA to an extent.
Saw me a girl today who walked with such a gentle sway, and I knew right from the start she was the one who could calm my heart. I know someday that we could happen in a special way.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
My mother said, "It's never bragging when you're telling the truth." Of course, she stole that line from Muhammad Ali. I didn't know that, but the bottom line is my mother was a plagiarist. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, you got some fights going on tonight with Teofimo Lopez. Of course, he's now 21 now, the former lightweight champion, 13 KOs. The takeover sort of got took over by George Kambosos. When you think about the fact that Kambosos probably couldn't win the gold gloves, I'm going to put it to you like this. If I was fighting and George Kambosos was fighting, we were both amateurs, I'd lick him like a stamp. It wouldn't even be close. He has nothing. I can't believe that he even beat Teofimo Lopez. I mean, I gave him some props beforehand because, you know, he went over to England and he beat a guy over there. Yeah, so what? When you beat guys on foreign territory, that sort of that says something about your mettle because you want to go fight guys in their hometown. But the bottom line is that fight with George Kambosos and Teofimo Lopez, I just don't know. Something was up that night with Teofimo. Maybe he had problems making weight. Maybe he had issues. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he didn't look like the takeover because the takeover guy took over. Now, tonight, he's taking on, as I said, 20-1 with 13 KOs. Of course, not too impressed with him of late. And, you know, that's just the way, I mean, outside of the Josh Taylor fight, he was up for it. He looked great. No doubt about that. But outside of his other fights, the Sandor Martin fight, didn't look all that good. You know, at the end of the day, we don't know if Teofimo Lopez was a hot flash in the pan or whether George Kambosos just caught him on a bad night or whether Teo's the real deal or not. And I don't think that Steve Claggett, the Canadian opponent tonight, who is 38-7, has been stopped once, 26 KOs. I mean, he's 35 years old. Listen, he has two chances, I think. Slim and none, and Slim just left town. But guess what? It's Teofimo Lopez. And if he lost to George Kambosos, he can lose to anybody. That's just too, he can, I mean, listen, Kambosos couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue. I'm just telling you like this. I mean, he can't. I mean, look at his performances. I mean, getting stopped by Vasily Lomachenko and, of course, his last fight. And I give Lomachenko props for going down there and kicking his ass in Australia. That's the way it had to be done. Of course, David Haney went down there and sparred with him for 24 rounds, took the title, then went back there and defended the title. If ever there was some type of a wink-wink, we're going to make money together, it was the George Kambosos-Devin Haney thing. Think about this. Devin Haney goes down there, but in order to get the shot with Kambosos, you got to fight with a contract for an immediate rematch. And the WBC and the WBA and all those other organizations went along with this. They said, okay, we'll let you have the immediate rematch if you lose, okay? And that's the way it went down. So he went back there and he fought again. I mean, come on, man. I mean, George Kambosos is a bit of a turd. And Devin Haney beat him twice handily. Of course, probably won 23 or 24 rounds, if not all 24 rounds. So for that, I give Devin Haney props. But again, I don't give George Kambosos all that amount of props. So the bottom line is, I guess he didn't beat all that much. So at the end of the day, we've got this fight going on tonight. We've got DAZN going up against ESPN, which is a pretty good thing. You know, when you got two different channels going back and forth, it's not like HBO and Showtime, though. Somebody said to me the other day, "Do you long for the days of HBO?" Listen, people want to reach back in time for different eras. You know, this was the golden era, that was the golden era, this and that. Everybody's going to have their own era. That's what boxing and music and life is all about. I mean, you know, I wouldn't know any of the guys in the top 40 nowadays as far as the music's concerned, but you might. I wouldn't, because I'm an old man now, okay? So each generation has its own. And each generation thinks that they had it better than the prior generation, or than the generation after them. Oh, you know, we didn't do this. We didn't. No. Put it this way. Everybody played a game. Everybody did what they could in order to go as far as they could in the world and the game of life. And that's just the way it is. But at the end of the day, Teofimo Lopez and Steve Claggett, I don't know if that's main event television. I just don't. And as far as the undercard is concerned, I wouldn't go too crazy about that either. I mean, you know, it's boxing on TV, but it's not HBO and Showtime. Speaking of HBO and Showtime, there will never be another era like that. When you've got two major companies going back and forth against each other, I thought Netflix might do something. Of course, Netflix was going to do the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight, and that ain't going to happen. I don't think it will. Of course, Mike Tyson saying originally that he was going to do this thing July the 20th, and of course he got hurt, got into a bit of a, had an anxiety attack. They stopped an airplane because of Mike Tyson. They put him, when they put it on the ground, they had a medical team come on the plane, that kind of good stuff. Listen, what happened was Mike took an edible. He ate an edible, and he got a little freaked out. I know, I've been there, okay? Everybody that's taken an edible knows that. You take an edible, and you sit back, and you wait, okay? Sometimes it doesn't even work. Sometimes it works way too much. When you get on an airplane, it's probably not a good time to take an edible. I remember there was myself and a promoter's son. I won't mention the name of the promoter or the son, but he took some edibles when we were flying from Las Vegas to New Mexico, and he held my hand for the entire flight. I mean, he wouldn't let go. I won't mention who. I won't embarrass the guy. I won't embarrass the promoter's son. Think about that. A big promoter's son from New Mexico. I won't embarrass him, but the bottom line is he held my hand the entire time from eating an edible. Edibles make you freak out, so that's why Mike Tyson freaked out. Now, the July 20th thing with Jake Paul is off. Of course, they had AT&T Stadium nearly sold out. I don't know how they're doing the tickets down there. Are they telling the people they're going to bring some other schmo, and are they going to charge the same amount of price, same price for the schmo than they did for Mike Tyson? I don't think that works. And, of course, if Mike Tyson comes back and fights the Jake Paul, of course, in November, they're talking about doing something in November, probably not outdoors in Texas in November. But bottom line is they're coming back to do something in November. And the reason why they do it in November is that, you know, maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. But Jake Paul can pimp off this next fight. He can say, you know what, Mike Tyson was scaring me. Mike Tyson pulled out this man, so I'm fighting this guy, blah, blah, blah. And next time around, I'm fighting Mike Tyson. This is a bit of a con. I think it's all a bit of a con. I'm not sure if Mike Tyson will ever get into any type of ring with Jake Paul. I don't know. I mean, he's got himself in fantastic condition. I look at him physically. He looks great. He looks better. He looks as good as he did when he trained for Buster Douglas. Oh, why do I say that? Because, you know, he didn't give 100% against Buster Douglas, didn't train 100%. He tried. He was in shape, no doubt about that. But he went over to Japan, did some cocaine, did some geishas, all that kind of good stuff. And then at the end of the day, he wasn't ready. I mean, he wasn't 200%. But he was ready because nobody could have took that type of ass whooping from Buster Douglas and not been in shape. I mean, you can't get beat on like a drum. Boom, boom, a Ludwig drum, all like 8-9 rounds. I'm just get boom, boom, boom. Eyes closing up, that kind of good stuff. Can't get beat on like that and keep coming back and not saying you're not in shape. Of course, Mike Tyson was not in his best condition that night. But I wonder sometimes if Mike Tyson was even in his best condition, could he have beaten James Douglas that night? Of course, people talk about the long count, the fact that James Buster Douglas was knocked down at one point in time. I think it was the 7th or 8th round, of course. And he supposedly took some time on the canvas. I didn't think so. I thought it was a good knockdown, a good get up, that kind of good stuff. The referee, I thought, did a good job. At the end of the day, Mike Tyson was just an old guy at that point in time. And yeah, he got old fast because it was a flash in the pan. Mike Tyson was a flash in the pan. The reason why I say that, of course, when he won the heavyweight championship, I believe, at the age of 21 back in 1978, you know, Muhammad Ali said to Larry Merchant and myself, because I remember Larry was asking him, yeah, I was listening to Larry ask questions back then. I didn't know Larry, but I listened to Larry ask. That's what I learned from. I learned a lot watching The Godfather, okay? But Larry Merchant said to Ali, he goes, what do you think? What do you think of the kid? What do you think of the kid? He goes, he was impressive tonight. He goes, but how long can he hold it? And Mike Tyson held the title for like a year and a half, almost 2 years. That's not even 2 years. I kid you not. Of course, lost to James Buster Douglas. Never really came back after that. The time where he had to go to jail, of course, for the rape of Desiree Washington. Of course, I never thought he raped Desiree Washington, but that's another story for another day. But he gets out after that, takes on Peter McNeely, the pizza guy from Pizza Boy, or the Pizza Hut kid, did all those commercials. That guy could have made millions, but he was a drunk. Booze played a problem. Yeah, because he was doing this Pizza Hut commercial, and it was like the number one commercial on TV. I mean, it was really, really going all over the country. Peter McNeely talking about this Pizza Hut pizza he was delivering or carrying, that kind of good stuff. He was blowing Pizza Hut, okay? And then, of course, he had the DUI, and they pulled the contract. That was it. He was done. You never heard from him again. And once in a while, I hear from him on the Internet. Of course, his father was Roy Cut-and-Shoot McNeely. He fought Floyd Patterson for the heavyweight title back when Floyd Patterson was scared to fight, was afraid of Sonny Liston and people like that, Eddie Mach and this and that. We can go on and on. Floyd Patterson was a good guy. Two-time world heavyweight champion, of course, lost the title to Ingemar Johansson and then gained it back against Johansson, of course, and lost it to Sonny Liston, fought Sonny Liston twice. Never made it 3 minutes with Sonny in either round, either fight. First fight, second fight, never made it 3 minutes. Sonny Liston was a monster. But listen, Floyd Patterson was a 165-pound fighter in the Olympics. He was a small little guy. I'll never forget one time I grabbed James Buster Douglas' manager. Speaking of Buster Douglas, I grabbed his manager. I can't remember what his name is right now. And he was a white guy. I grabbed him by the shirt. We're at a table in Kansas City. I was at a weigh-in for the Tommy Morrison Razor Ruddock fight. And he left a message on somebody's answering machine that he was going to knock me out when he saw me. Well, guess what? I walked into the restaurant, and he was in a table, you know, a booth, right? So he couldn't do anything. I reached across the table and grabbed him this day. Anyway, he didn't say too much after that. But I remember Floyd stopping me in the elevator the next day, saying to me, "Son, I knew you was ready to kick some ass there, son. I could see that. I knew you was. That's why I got up." Because Floyd was sitting next to him. Floyd got up. Floyd knew the guy was about to get an ass whooping. Floyd got up and moved away. So I miss Floyd Patterson without a doubt. But as far as being a great all-time heavyweight champion is concerned, he won the 1952 Olympic gold medal at 165 pounds as an amateur. He never really was a heavyweight per se. Every time he got into a fight with a bigger guy, you know, I mean, he was slick at times, but, I mean, couldn't beat Ali, couldn't beat Liston. I mean, those were the heavyweights of that era, and Floyd Patterson couldn't beat him, even though he was a two-time world heavyweight champion. And speaking of Patterson, the first time he lost the title to Ingemar Johansson, I wasn't too much into boxing at this point in time because I was, like, you know, a kid in diapers. But the bottom line is Eddie Machen was the number one ranked heavyweight in the world. He was out of San Francisco. He was the guy that got me into boxing. Anyway, so Eddie Machen goes over to Sweden to fight Ingemar Johansson. And Johansson, who quit in the 52 Olympics, is considered a mark. He's considered a dog. He has no chance. Machen's going to go over there and kill him. Well, Machen had a bad rotator cuff muscle in his left right hand, so he clearly couldn't punch with the right hand. So he was basically a one-armed fighter. And he went over there, and he got knocked out in one round by Ingemar Johansson. So Johansson ended Eddie Machen's career, and that became... He became the star. Of course, he fought Patterson not once but twice. Of course, then he retired. I think he won one or two fights after that, and he finally retired. But at the end of the day, Johansson was a good guy. I mean, he just was, but couldn't make it as far as big-time fighters were concerned. All these guys from 62 on changed. I mean, it just what the size of them changed. Of course, you look at Rocky Marciano. Could he fight in today's division? Yeah, if they were fighting 190 pounds or 200 pounds, he'd be the greatest of all time. There's no doubt about that. At cruiserweight, I think he could beat maybe Evander Holyfield at cruiserweight. He could dog Evander Holyfield down. That's how determined Rocky Marciano was at 200 pounds or at 190 pounds. But as a heavyweight champion, I don't even put him in the top 10, even though he's 49-0 with 43 knockouts. I just don't see it there. And the reason why I don't see it is that size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And this is the heavyweight division. Of course, when it changed circa the early 1960s, it went from like 190 pounds to 215 pounds, 220 pounds. And after that, it's continued to get bigger. Today's heavyweight champion, of course, is Oleg Gusek. He weighs about 225 pounds, but he took the title away from a guaranteed fat man in Tyson Fury, who weighed like close to 270, 280 pounds when he gets in the ring. Of course, then you had before that another fat guy, you know, Andy Ruiz, the bandito that took all that money and ran. Of course, what did he weigh for that first fight? 263. Somewhat trimmed. Then the second fight, he weighed 283. And of course, he started camp at 317 pounds. Think about that. You're the world heavyweight champion. You've upset the entire world, and then you don't get yourself together. Just like Buster Douglas. What is these suicidal missions these guys get on after pulling these major upsets? I don't get it. Buster Douglas pulled a major upset of Mike Tyson. Then he imploded. He imploded against Evander Holyfield. He just did. He went. I mean, couldn't lick a stamp. Couldn't get in shape, the whole nine yards. Andy Ruiz pulls off the big upset. He can't do anything in a rematch. I mean, come on, man. What's up with these guys? When you get to the pinnacle, the upper echelons of boxing, when you get to the top, you just don't stop right then and there. Your hunger has to be there. You have to be hungry. And then people say to me, well, you know, he was aggressive. Not aggressive enough. You're never aggressive enough. Tonight, Juan Bam Bam Estrada, I take that back, Juan Estrada and Bam Bam Rodriguez, Bam Bam's gonna lick him like a stamp. Somebody shot me a text. Bet your money on Bam Bam, baby. I know a place where people.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So many odds for tonight. Check this out. Juan Francisco Estrada is a +380 underdog against Jesse Rodriguez. Rodriguez, a -550 favorite, of course, was 450 and moved up to 550. People betting on Jesse Bam Rodriguez because he licks Juan Francisco Estrada like a stamp. Now, Estrada's claim to fame is beating Chocolito Gonzalez, not once but twice. The first one was a split decision. Second one was a majority decision. At the end of the day, I was never impressed with Chocolito to begin with. It's like the next star from Nicaragua. I don't think so. Bottom line is, I thought he was way overrated. We'll see what happens tonight, but I think Jesse Rodriguez wins this fight inside the distance. Now, Teofimo Lopez, of WBO 140-pound champion, taking on Steve Claggett of Canada. Of course, a 11-1 favorite, -1100 if you want to bet on Teofimo, +660 if you want to bet on Claggett. So the bottom line is, you can't even get a good bet if you want to bet on the underdog. That's the way it used to be. In other words, if you bet on the dog, you usually get a good price. You get something worth maybe wagering, worth gambling on, but you don't want to bet on it with those kind of odds. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, I think both the favorites win tonight, and they win going away. As far as Teofimo is concerned, the future, well, 140 pounds, we'll see what's happening. Of course, Matias lost last week. Of course, that was a big upset. We'll talk about that in depth tomorrow. Of course, when you bring in Mr. Thomas Dillamuth, who will be with me tomorrow. Of course, Sir Tommy rocks and rolls on Sunday, of course. Today, Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD, got the day off, of course, because of the fact he went to a wedding, so we just gave him the day off. But get this. These guys living in the Bronx, they're dying. The heat's killing them back there. I mean, I saw a YouTube clip the other day where they were showing air conditioners. Everybody in the Bronx has an air conditioner in their bedroom, okay? But they got supported by either a brick or a can of beans. And most people had cans of beans supporting their little heater, so a little air conditioner. So I thought that was pretty cool. But at the end of the day, this is global warming. Whether you want to admit it or not, the world's getting warmer. It's getting warmer faster than we want it to. And unless we do something about it, it's going to get hot here in this world, no doubt about that. Now, I'm getting old, and it ain't going to matter to me, but the bottom line is future generations got to think about that. Global warming is here for real. Now, tonight's fights, as I said, not much to speak about as far as competitive concern, but tomorrow I'll bring in Larry Merchant. We'll spend some time. I'm going to try to get a hold of Dennis Rappaport. The reason why I want to get a hold of Dennis, the former manager, of course, of Jerry Cooney, is that he sort of predicted the way that Francis Ngannou would make a lot of money in the world of boxing, and then, of course, he got out. He had the two fights with Anthony Joshua, and, of course, Tyson Fury. Made a bunch of money, no doubt about that. Made like $80 million. How can you make $80 million in two fights when you fought your entire career and only made $500,000 for Dana White and his pimp ass UFC? Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Don't forget the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time. I'll spend some time with retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant, all 93 years old. Bottom line is that's tomorrow, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network or any of these channels in which you're picking up the show right now. We'll do the same thing tomorrow, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. Thank you, Daniel.